Well, good evening, everyone. Mike was talking about flying away. That song, we ought to sing that again for next week, because if you take a look in the hymn book, the little verse of scripture that goes with the title comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the opening verses, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And if you're going to be caught by a wind, you're going to have to go this direction, not this way. Now, speaking of those straight line winds, was it a Wednesday? No, Thursday. No, Wednesday and Thursday, we had, 2 days of rain, right? Two days of solid rain. And then Halloween night, we had some strong winds, right? So on Friday morning, I'm talking with somebody, and I look out, talk to somebody on the phone, I look out the window, and down here, I had three beautiful Colorado blue spruce. They were put in 20 years ago when we moved to this house, about 30 feet high, and one of them was flat this way, pulled right out of the ground, roots split off and all that type of thing. I was waiting for it to happen, though, because when we, Lori and I, came back from Florida last year, because of the winter and probably rains and then winds in the early spring, that type of thing, when we came back, that one spruce tree was bent over to the side. And in fact, I even talked to a tree guy, and he says, oh, it's on its way. I'll cut it down for you, you know, for a certain amount of money. And Gloria said, no way. She's not going to cut down something that's living. Well, so we had it. And then I noticed that it was very windy that the day on Thanksgiving, or no, Halloween day. And I was just watching that thing, and I said, I think it's leaning even more and more. And lo and behold, it came down. So tomorrow I have a different tree guy who's going to come and take care of it. But it's sad to lose a tree. Yeah, you plant it, and you see it grow, and it was a beautiful tree. Gloria is from Washington State, the Evergreen State, so she was surrounded by all kinds of Christmas trees. Of course, they have some beautiful tall trees out there, the cedar and the fir. But so we put in, when we got this house, there were just a couple of trees there, surrounded the trees, put in 13 evergreens, three in the front yard down in the corner, and then 10 in the back, marking off our property. And so they've grown awfully tall. Lots taller than I thought they would be. But anyway, thought I'd share that story. Anybody have a tree fall down in your yard at some time? You've had, right. Those things happen, don't they? Yeah, it's a sad, sad time, right. Well, folks, we want to come into 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You got a new outline. Everybody get a new outline tonight? Alan, you don't have a new, we have a few people over here that need this latest one. This one has chapter 4, verses 8 to 18 on one side, and then on the back side it has chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. So I hope that you have that. I've entitled this little section of scripture, "When Difficulties Come, Choose." And we're going to look at it. Choose encouragement rather than discouragement. When difficulties come, choose life rather than death. And when difficulties come, choose faith rather than sight. And we're going to see this in chapter 4, verses 8 through 18. Now, as we know, the Apostle Paul experienced all kinds of trouble, difficulties, persecutions, misrepresentations. He tells us that throughout his writings, especially here in the book of 2 Corinthians. where he reveals material about himself, what happened to him, what was happening inside him, his thoughts, his emotions. We don't read about it in the book of Acts, the historical section of Paul's travels, and we don't read about many of them in Paul's other writings. But here in 2 Corinthians, you get a real insight into Paul's heart, into his emotions. And he's quite willing to share them. And the reason he is that he is under attack in the church at Corinth. And Paul is defending himself, not just what he did, and why he did it, and how he did it, but his attitude, and his heart, and his feelings as he worked for the Lord and for the people there in the city of Corinth. So let's take a look at this then. First of all, when difficulties come, choose encouragement rather than discouragement. Look at verses 8 and 9. Paul says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed." You see that? There are four little couplets there. We are hard-pressed. You just look at that, you can be very discouraged, but not crushed. There's the encouragement. We are perplexed. That can bring discouragement. But we are not in despair. There's hope there. Encouragement. We're persecuted. That can bring discouragement. But not forsaken. The Lord's always with us. There's the encouragement. We're struck down, that can bring discouragement, but we're not destroyed. There's the encouragement and hope. So let's just take a look at these phrases then. We are hard-pressed on every side. You get the impression here of this pressure coming in from the side, walls closing in, ceiling and floor coming down, that type of thing. Just the pressures of life coming upon him. But on the other side, not crushed. It didn't come all the way down. It didn't come in all the way this way. You see it? He's still there. He's still there. In fact, remember when we started this book, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verses 8 and 9. You talked about this earlier. He said, "We do not want you to be ignorant, brethren." He's talking to this Corinthian brethren, "of our trouble which came to us in Asia." He's talking about what happened over there in Ephesus. "We were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life." Paul wasn't sure what was going to happen. Would he be martyred even there? "Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us." Paul's hope was in the Lord in spite of what was taking place all around him. He goes on to say, "We are perplexed." It gives you a sense about the future. It's like coming to a fork in the road and there are no road signs. Do I go left or right? He says, "But not in despair." Persecuted. You know, Jesus said, "The world will hate you, the world will persecute you because they did the same to me." You can expect it. "But not forsaken. Go preach the gospel, and I am with you until the end of the age." Right? And then he says, "Struck down, knocked down, but not knocked out." knocked down, but not destroyed. Let me take you over to chapter 12 of this book, where at the very end, Paul will talk about the same thing. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And you'll find in there where Paul talked about a thorn in the flesh. And he had asked the Lord to remove it three times, and the Lord said, no, I want you to keep it. And then the Lord said in verse 9 to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You'll get the impression there that the Lord wanted to keep Paul in weakness, that he might depend upon the strength of the Lord and not upon Paul's own strength to get through it. He says, therefore, most gladly, this is interesting, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities. Now, there are people in real life who enjoy giving us organ recitals, right? How are you doing? Oh, let me tell you. Right? Well, but he says, I boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Now keep in mind, these problems came to him for Christ's sake. They came to him because he was a believer. They came to him because he was preaching Christ in a pagan, godless world as he went throughout the Roman Empire. For Christ's sake, as he proclaimed in the synagogues that Jesus was in fact the promised Messiah, and that brought a lot of hostility. So these problems came to him because he was a believer, not because he was doing something wrong, but he was doing something right for God. He says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And I think, folks, we all have experienced that, have we not? I was listening to David Jeremiah, I think, on this last, yesterday, on his television program at 7. And he was talking about a time when he had cancer. And it was during that time that he sensed that this idea that, Lord, should I have a television ministry? And out of that, he began to have these ideas and a vision for a television ministry coming out of his church. And look what's happened with the ministry of David Jeremiah. It's an amazing thing. I always get a kick out of listening to him when he talks about being back in little old Cedarville. And some of us may remember David when he was still in school. And his mom and dad, Dr. and Mrs. Jeremiah, James T. Jeremiah and Ruby Jeremiah. How many people knew them then? Oh, yeah, some of you did, right. All right, let's go on to the next point. When difficulties come, choose life rather than death. Now, here's some interesting language that you have here as Paul writes it in verses 10 through 12. Notice he says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Again, see how he talks about the dying of the Lord or the death of the Lord along with the life of Jesus. And I think here he's talking about the life of Jesus, meaning that resurrection life that he has. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is working in us, but life in you. This has a few thoughts here. Remember what Jesus said. He likened his life and his death to be like a seed in the ground. The seed must go into the ground and die that it might produce life. Let me just take you to that passage. Turn with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And look at verses 24 and 25. I'll back up verse 23. The Lord said, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And of course, that's a reference to his coming, death, burial, and resurrection. "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." The death of Jesus Christ produced many sons and daughters of God, the grain, right? If it were not for his death and then subsequent resurrection, we would not have this service tonight. We would not be born again believers in Jesus Christ. There would not have been that time when we would have confessed Jesus as Lord and have believed in our hearts that God had raised him from the dead and we became Christians. And Paul is saying the same thing with us. Remember in Philippians 3:10, I love that passage. Let's come on back to Philippians, a book that Paul wrote after 2 Corinthians. In fact, this is a book that he wrote while he was in prison, remember? Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 9, he said, "I want to be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law." And remember, Paul had a lot of that. In fact, in verse 8, he says, "Those things that I counted one time as excellence in my life, I had to count but dung as refuse. Be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law." It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. "But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." How do you get the righteousness of God, folks? By faith. Faith alone. We can add that, right? Faith alone. People want to add something. Faith plus baptism, faith plus circumcision, faith plus church membership, right? It is by faith alone. Grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But it's very easy to add that. Now, notice this in verse 10. "That I may," he wants to be found in Christ, "that I may know Christ." Now, I take it that I know Christ is his drive in sanctification, to live that holy life, to live that Christ-centered life, to live that life where Christ is flowing his life through us. Christ is in us, the hope of glory, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformed to his death." There's that concept again of Christ's death and Christ's life. Paul wants to experience that in his daily living. "I die daily," he said in other passages. "I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me," right? Galatians 2:20. Choose life rather than death. And of course, the Lord said, if you want to follow him, you have to what? Take up the cross. And the cross is a symbol of death. Death to self, your ambitions, in order that you might fulfill God's will and plan for your life. That's a hard thing to do. And folks, that's something that we need to do even in our senior years. I mean, that's a great passage, a concept that we, in youth programs, Youth for Christ, that type of thing. But that ought to be something that's every day. As long as the Lord gives us extended life here on earth, that must be our desire until the very day that he takes us home. All right, let's go on to the next area. When difficulties come, choose faith rather than sight. And then under that, I see here several concepts. First of all, that faith gives speech. Paul says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, and here he goes back and he quotes a verse from the Psalms, Psalm 116, if you have a reference Bible, I believed and therefore I spoke. He then says, we also believe and therefore speak. That is, when difficulties come, choose faith rather than sight. Trust the Lord, confess Him, even in the midst of difficulty that you're going through. Let me take you back for a moment to Psalm 116, just show you the background of that passage. Psalm 116. And you'll see that phrase in verse 10, I believed, therefore I spoke. Let me go back and read the first part of the psalm. The psalmist says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. And then this testimony, the pains of death surrounded me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. Tell people what God has done for you, even in the midst of what you're going through. It's a time of testimony. Because there are unsaved people who are going through the same thing. And somehow they want some help. And they need to find out that they can find help in those issues as they come to the Lord and first call upon Him for salvation and then call upon Him for direction in their life. Faith gives speech. Also, look at the next point here. Faith gives assurance. Look at verse 14. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise up us with Jesus and will present us with you. Paul is saying, if it comes to that point where I die and you die, well, when the Lord comes, the dead in Christ will rise first and we will go up together to meet the Lord in the air along with those who are alive at the time of Christ. Now that's Paul's testimony here. It's his testimony that if he should die, he will be raised from the dead. Yet, if you come with me to 1 Thessalonians, come with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a passage that I just love and I'm sure you do too, and a passage that I want read at my memorial service. This would be one of them anyway. But he says in verse 13, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Notice in verse 15 he says, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Paul said he could be among those who would be alive at the time the Lord comes in the rapture. He goes on to say, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So, in 1 Thessalonians, there is that belief that he could be among the living when the Lord comes in the rapture. Here, in 2 Corinthians 4:14, is his confession of faith that if he should die, he would be among those in the dead to be raised. So whether you're alive, or he has that hope. Faith gave him that assurance. I think we would all like to have the Lord come in the rapture first, right? Do I need hands on that? I think we would all love that. We would all love that. But I remember in Bible school way, way back, you might remember this, Hawkenberry's, but I remember way back, 1951, 1956, I was at Baptist Bible Seminary in Johnson City, New York. And there were guys there who said, I can't be in school. I can't invest 3 years or 4 years or 5 years. The Lord's going to come there, you know, and people need to get saved. I got to get out there now. I can't spend time studying. I was between 18 and 22 then. I'm now 86. I wonder where those guys are. Yes. Well, somebody will be washing the dishes, cleaning the floors, right? Somebody might even be on their way to the mission field in a plane at the time the rapture takes place. We don't know. We need to be doing what God wants us to do. And even in those mundane areas, but in the midst of it all, have this hope. It's a wonderful hope, folks. And I think as we are growing older, I think we realize that, don't we? It's a great, great hope. Faith gives that assurance. Then look at verse 15. Faith also gives endurance. He says, for all things are for your sakes. What Paul endured, he said, for your sake, I'm doing this for you. To serve you, to encourage you, to be an example to you, that grace having spread through the many, that people might experience the grace of God in the midst of these. My grace is sufficient for you. You'll write later, we saw it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. May cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Are you able to thank God for the difficulties you have in life? That's hard to do. It's very easy to say, why, Lord? Rather than say, thank you, Lord. That's hard. That's not the human way. It's not the natural way. That's not the way we want to live. To the glory of God. We can glorify God when we're completely healthy. We can glorify God when we're in the hospital room. Right? We can glorify God when we have much. We can glorify God when we have little. We can glorify God when we're young. We can glorify God when we're old. Let's go to verse 16. Faith also gives strength. Notice he says, therefore we do not lose heart. Remember when we saw that earlier? Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. He said at the beginning of the chapter, now says it at the end of the chapter. We don't lose heart. We don't quit. We don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. There's that contrast again. The outward, the inward. Outward getting weaker and weaker. But the inner, the soul, the real you, getting stronger and stronger. It's not a contradiction, is it? But it's a reality. I was talking with Art. I asked Art, you can't walk like you used to, can you, Art? Yeah. But you still spend time with the Lord every day, don't you? You pray. May you get stronger day by day in your soul, Art. I know you would like to be able to walk. Yeah, I have a good friend, Rod Wise, who taught at Cedarville, and then later on, maybe some of you know Rod Wise. And he got polio when he was young. And his brother-in-law is Don Callanan, who was the coach of the basketball team. And Rod taught business administration. All of his credit, Rod went on and got degrees, a PhD in business management, taught that at Cedarville, taught it at Central State University. He gets to the church now. He's in a wheelchair. His legs are weak. It's very, very weak. And of course, but amazing how he just keeps on going. And I thank the Lord for how God has worked in his heart. Now, let's come on down to our finish, the last two verses. Faith gives vision. And again, Paul uses this contrast, which is rather interesting. I'll read them and then I'll come back to show the contrast. He says, for our light affliction, which is for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Look at the contrast in here. Affliction, on the other side, you have what? Glory. Light affliction compared to weight of glory. Light affliction is for a moment, but the weight of glory is eternal. Hard for us to understand eternity, isn't it? I mean, really. Hard to think of that. Also, notice what he says in verse 18. We do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. The Bible talks about seeing him who is invisible. I have not seen God, but I've seen the acts of God. And I've experienced the love of God, His grace and His mercy. The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do any of you get the Baptist Bulletin by chance? Did any of you ever get the Baptist Bulletin? A couple people did. Well, I get the Baptist Bulletin. I still get the print edition. You can get the digital. And I just got the latest issue. And I looked in there, and down in a corner on the inside picture, they're talking about the digital edition. And here's an article that says, "When Will the Universe Be Destroyed? Robert Grimacki." I said, oh, where'd they get that? Ah, yes. The second book that I wrote was Are These the Last Days, which was a bad title, but it was put out by, I think it was Fleming H. Ravel Company, a company that was in New Jersey, and it's one of the chapters in the book, When Will the Universe Be Destroyed? And because this issue of the Baptist Bulletin was dealing with creation, and things like that. And so the digital edition had some other things. So the whole point is that what God created is going to be recreated, refurbished, recycled to make way for new heavens and a new earth. So I pulled down my book to see what I wrote. See if I still believe it. And it sounded pretty good. I couldn't believe I wrote that, you know. But anyway, someday we're going to see things, aren't we? We're going to see those things that have been written in this book. And our faith will become sight. I think we ought to pray for Roger and Nancy. I noticed that Nancy left, and it's nice that she came to play. She said he's not doing well. Apparently the radiation and the chemo have just...
Nancy told me she did 16 loads of washing. Everything.
Say that again?
16 loads of washing. She has to wash his clothes twice every time. In this last week, she did 16 loads of washing.
You have to do that for the clothes of people who are taking these treatments? That's the first time I've heard that. That's amazing. But anyway, he seems to be wiped out. He was not in church today and so on. And so Dr. Weiss was even wondering whether he was going to be able to go to his treatments tomorrow, because he's supposed to have treatments Monday through Friday. So it'll be interesting to see whether he can even go. But let's pray for them, shall we? Our Father, our God, we do pray for Roger and Nancy. We thank you for their lives. We thank you for their love for each other, their love for their family, their love for this church, and for this group of people who gather here on Sunday night to study the Word and have fellowship. We know that they would like to be here. You just commit them in your loving care. We think of some of these concepts, these principles, the truth that we saw just here in this passage, and we can see how it relates so easily to Roger and Nancy at this time. Help them, our Father, and help us also to day by day trust you, to trust you, to trust you no matter what happens, to live for you no matter what happens, knowing, our Father, that you can take whatever happens to us and in us to use it for your glory and for our spiritual benefit and to be an encouragement to others. We pray for them, bless them, encourage them. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks. We'll see you next week.